Turn to page number 390 and let's stand and sing together. There's power in the blood. 390 in the red. See up on the board that there's three songs listed. We will be singing some more congregational songs here in just a few minutes after we have prayer. And we just thank the Lord for allowing us to be in His house today and for blessing us through a beautiful, blessed Christmas time. Heard many people talking about how blessed a Christmas they had. People were well and been able to be together as families. We've also got some of our families in the church that's not been well and suffering from some sicknesses and illnesses through Christmas. So this morning, we've got them on the prayer list here. And if there's somebody we miss reading this off, you make them known and we'll put them on the list. Continue to remember the lost. Remember Doug Bennett. Doug has been in the hospital some. Is back home. His Crohn's disease and things had flared up and was pretty sick. So continue to remember him. Lena Cox, continue to remember her. Continue to keep Pauline Hamm in your prayers. Jean Beard, let's continue to remember her. Anybody heard anything on Kenneth Bright? Is he still in the rehab or is he at home now? Okay, so let's continue to keep him in our prayers. Alton Moxley. Mabel Black, let's continue to remember these. Remember Neil Cooper, I believe he's still waiting for a kidney. Bonnie Tedder, Dima Rector, Christy Hope. Christy will be going probably in the next few days to have her baby, so keep them in your prayers, a little boy. Will Golden, let's continue to remember him in our prayers. Edwin and Pat's mothers. Jessica will be having surgery here in just a few weeks, so let's remember her. Continue to pray for Jill's student there in her pregnancy. Carol Krause, remember her prayer request. David Lambert, continue to remember Shirley. She's still in the hospital there, but got a lot of soreness and things, been having to had some blood and different things there, so continue to remember her in your prayers, and hopefully she'll be home soon. So continue to remember this. Taylor McMillan, which is a student there in Mount Airy High School, has stage 4 lymphoma cancer. Corrine Baer, let's continue to remember her. Remember Christopher Cox, as he had surgery on his legs trying to help his walking there. Donna Hash, let's continue to remember them. Remember Debbie's grandchildren. Are they recovering from their strep throat? So let's continue to remember that. And there's much sickness going on, so let's keep all these in our prayers. I'm glad to hear that. Remember folks traveling. Melissa and Jamie's going to be has went to New York, so just keep them in our prayers and the kids. Carol Howard has bone cancer. Remember Dad this morning. He's got a hip that's bothering him, and he's stubborn as a mule and won't go to the doctor. And if you don't go to the doctor, you can't find out what's wrong with you. You just hurt a little longer. So just keep him in your prayers and pray that he will. I said when he got to where he couldn't walk, we could just take him to the hospital so he won't be able to fight us. But anyway, continue to remember him. Jacob McKnight in Korea, let's continue to remember him. Junior Boyer. Travis Joins was in a car accident yesterday, been airlifted to the hospital there in Tennessee. Had to have some surgery and things, had some critical injuries there. So keep him in your prayers. This is Tina Rector's son, and Lynn Joins' son as well. So let's keep them in our prayers. Remember Marlene Weaver, she's got pneumonia. She wouldn't go to the hospital either, so she's home trying to recover. Meg White's been in the hospital with pneumonia. Tim White's got bronchitis. And Aiden, he is having to take breathing treatments. You know, they all got sick when John and Linda went down there. Just saying. She always was pulling something on me, and she can't defend herself. But anyway, y'all can tell her. But all the family there has been sick, so we're continuing to remember them. Remember Dennis Shaw. Dennis has found out, from what we understand, has liver cancer now. So continue to keep him in your prayers. Remember, he had some cancer, colon cancer, and had surgery and was doing better from that, but now it has moved to his liver. So remember him. And Howard Blevins, which is Sandra's uncle, he's been in the hospital with an intestinal infection. So remember him. Remember Josh this morning. He got to throwing up and last night, and he throws up so hard he busts his blood vessels in his face and eyes. So he's been very sick through the night, so remember him in prayer this morning. And Sandra's vertigo has been bothering her a little bit this morning, but they've made it on here, so we're thankful for that. Just keep her in your prayers. Anyone else with a prayer request?
Brad, I want to update my Uncle Will Golden. I appreciate the prayers. He's on the list. He has surgery
Amen. So he'll have surgery tomorrow, so say a special prayer tomorrow for him. Bill Hart. So let's remember that. Let's remember little David. Anyone else?
Remember Ralph Krause's family and Shirley's family today.
Ralph Krause's family, Shirley, his wife passed away. So let's remember this. Anyone else? By uplifted hand. That's good. I saw a hand that was raised back there in the back. You got a prayer request?
She has been receiving chemo for a year, and now her kidneys have shut down. She has a
And that was Janet. Did you say Janet?
Janet Edwards.
Janet Edwards. So let's remember these. Monterey's daughter-in-law. Someone else. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Philip, would you lead us in prayer this morning? Amen. All right, as our musicians make their way up here. If you will, get your red hymn book. Turn to page number 120. 120 in the red, Victory in Jesus. ask our brother deacons if they would to come pass the offering plate. I start to say, you're not one of the deacons. Brother Pudd, would you ask a blessing on the offering this morning?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, thanking you for watching over us this past year. You blessed us in so many ways, and I know we have failed to forgive you. Glory. Amen.
Amen. Today after church, for all those that are going to be going on the tubing trip, they need to have a short meeting with you to go over some things that need to be discussed, rules and regulations and all that goes along with the trip. Hope everyone got their name on the waiver sheets and your information sheets in, because without that information, we can't allow you to go. We have to have that. So we're hoping everyone got all that in. Stand to your feet, welcome each other to church. Any other announcements anyone has this morning? Be sure and stay after and see Wes and the youth committee concerning the trip there to the snow tubing. That'll be here in just a few short weeks. So be sure and see them this evening shortly after church there. Just a little short meeting to go over a few things. All right. Well, I believe Veronica was on the singing board, but I see she's not here. So Debbie's got to fill in for it. What? I thought that's what Veronica told me one time. If she wasn't here, you were supposed to fill in. No, she didn't tell me that. I'm just joking. Don't want nobody going saying the preacher's lying. But I thought I would get it. Robert? You and Holden come up here and do a duet. Well, either Robert that will sing. Oh. Well, I'm afraid Holden has that testimony of several people. Nobody wants to be that close to Holden. Bless his heart. We got him some deodorant for Christmas. He still eats it. I don't know. Anybody have a song on your heart this morning? If not, it's going to give me more time to preach. Hallelujah. Nobody's jumping up and down. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We do have some singings and things lined up for next year. We do have the first one lined up for the fifth Sunday night in March, the Ward family. I've been talking with Shalom Klein. He is doing some bookings and things, helping other gospel groups get out there and be able to go to some places. So I've been talking with Shalom this week, and we do have the Ward family. We'll be coming on the 29th of March, the fifth Sunday night in March anyway, at 6 o'clock. And then in May, on the 31st, we will have a couple named Kevin and Jennifer. They will be coming for us on that Sunday night, if you want to mark those down. And then in September, the fourth Sunday night in September, we'll have Shalom will be coming. He's going to be in the area, and he tries to book a couple close together. And so we will help him out with that. And he'll be here on the last Sunday night, September the 27th. Of 2015 at 6 o'clock also. So remember these upcoming events. We've got a few months to wait to till March, so you'll be rested up from Christmas and from overeating. I don't know about you, but I have sinned in the last few days of eating, and I'm going to have to get back on the repentance trail as far as that, and I'll start after today. Tomorrow's always the best time to start. So we will start that tomorrow and try to start working back on that. But it's a lot more fun to eat than it is to starve. I can just tell you that from personal experience. But I've not starved too awful much. None of us have, except when it comes sometimes to the Word of God. Sometimes we sit in places, and I've been places where I've sat and starved to death wanting to hear something from the Word of God and from the Bible. I've been places where I could tell you the personal experiences of some people about verbatim from their testimony, because you heard it every week. And it wasn't what I needed to grow. It was good for salvation and to encourage people, but we've got to grow in the Word of God. And we've got to study His Word to be able to grow. You know, the other Sunday I was up here and I got hot and started coughing. Couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong, and I'd forgot to take the coat off. So I told Alan, I said, I remember I had my coat on. He said, yeah, I saw it come off, and I knew the sleeves was going up. So evidently I've got some telltale signs to when I'm going to get a little warm. I start to getting rid of the coat and getting our sleeves up, because we've got to go to work preaching the Word of God. It's important, especially in this time that we face. We hear of police shootings, people being killed for being a police officer now, and different things with all the unrest that's going on, and all these racist people that are out promoting it, saying that everyone else is racist. But most of the time I have found those that cry racist most of the times are the ones that are the greatest racist, because they keep promoting it, keep it in the forefront, and keep things stirred up to keep trouble going. And what we need to do, because everybody's thinking, I'm going to be first. Let me tell you, God tells us in His Word in Mark chapter 9, beginning in the 33rd verse, those that are going to be first are going to be last. And if any man thinks himself more than he ought to think, he's going to have to humble his heart and come into submission to Jesus Christ. We have many today that see that they have no reason to submit to Christ. They have no reason to submit to the Savior, because they have the answers. They are number one. I'm going to be first. Well, let me tell you, in service to man, you can't be first and serve mankind and serve God. I told you last week, sometimes it's easier for me to have more faith for you to get well than I do for myself. Why? Because I don't want to get in front of what you need for myself. I don't want to be first. I want to come in and just let God bless me for putting others before myself. Not because I want to brag or boast about it. That's how God wired me. That others come first. But most importantly, God come first. Him be the head. Him be the charge, lead and charge in my life, and allow me to follow Him. And He gave me a revelation this morning. Don't look at me crazy. I've told you, I've been troubled over my eyes and the situation they're in, and wondering day to day how much sight I was going to have today. And God told me this morning in the shower, because sometimes we just have talks just sporadically. He said, you're going to have to quit worrying about what you're not going to be able to see and enjoy what you can see now. Enjoy what you can see now. Enjoy what you can do now. I take care of it. And I know He will. I know He will. But I want Him to be first. I want Him to be first. And it says now in verse 33 of chapter 9 of Mark, it says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? Now see, God knows all. Jesus knew everything His disciples were thinking before they ever made mention of it. He knew what their thoughts were. He knows what our thoughts are. He knows what our fears are. He knows what our heart's desire is. He knows if we're serving Him to our full capacity or not. God knows. We can't hide it. We can't hide it. God knows. He knew that within their cells there was wonderings, there was disputings, there was things being said amongst their cells because there were questions that they had. And it says, but they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Who's the greatest in New Hope Church? Who is the greatest in New Hope Church? It better be God. If God's not the greatest, we got a problem. If God's not first, we got a problem. If the pastor's held higher than God, we got a problem. But God is first. But they were disputing among themselves who's first, who's greatest, who's greatest. Now, I've seen this happen in church. I've seen little, they call them cliques. I'm not going to give the names of the creeks they lived on because some of you know them. It's not in Allegheny. But they were described by where they lived. This little clique and that little clique, and you can see it because that's the way they said it in church. In little groups. In little groups. And this clique was better than that clique because where they came from. Well, I can tell you one thing, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. No man's better than the other one. You might have been born and had plenty of money and been able to have the finest things. And you may have been born and you've had a hard time, your family struggled, and you may not have the finer things of this life, but if you know Jesus, you've got it all. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't have anything. Amen. But who's the greatest? God's the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Who likes being a servant to all men? Sometimes it gets to be a hard burden to bear. Because sometimes when you start being a servant, they'll let you be one. And they'll keep piling it on and piling it on to your breaking point. You say, I've had enough. Can't take no more. That's why we have so many churches that are split. We find a good mule and we'll load him up until we break him. He'll run away and go somewhere else. But who's the greatest? He said, the first shall be last. The same shall be last of all and a servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not. Wait a minute. Receiveth me. And whosoever receiveth me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. When we receive Jesus, we're receiving God's eternal gift to mankind. We are receiving the most precious gift. Now, yesterday and Friday, it was probably pandemonium. I can't say that word. It sounded good, but it was probably chaos in the stores of people going to return gifts that they just didn't like. Just didn't suit their taste. So they had to take it back. Maybe it was the wrong size. You know, I've had people thought I was a lot bigger than I was, and I'd have a shirt big enough that if I'd have wore it and the wind blew, I could have caught the wind and took a ride. We got to take it back and get some different sizes. It happens. And then they forget you grow. And you get one and you hold it up and it's about this big. You got to take it back. But I've never had to take back Jesus. He was the perfect gift, the perfect size. He expands with me. When I started out as an infant child of God, I had enough of Jesus to fill me up. And as I've grew in the Spirit and the knowledge of God, and as I've expanded my territory, Jesus has too. Because I understand Him better. And He understands me better because we've had a relationship. I've learned of Him. I've had Him indwelling me and teaching me. And we have a relationship one with another. And I received Him, and He's just the right size all the time. And He's right on time every time. Anybody got anybody in their family? I won't mention no names. It's always late. I know we all got those, but Jesus is always right on time. Always right on time. It may not be our time. It may not be our schedule, but Jesus is always on time. Always on time. But we receive God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can receive the gift of heaven that God has prepared for mankind. We receive God and we receive His blessings through the Son Jesus. Where the Word came and took on flesh and became life, that He could direct our path. He could put a light inside of us that would reflect to other men that they may see Jesus in our life. What did you give away that you did not expect anything in return for this year? Or did you just give to people who you knew would give back to you? That's not the kind of love God wants us to show. The love that God wants us to show is doing things for people and not expecting anything in return, knowing there's probably no way possible maybe that they could ever do anything in return to be able to help you back. That's the love that God wants us to show. An unconditional love. It's unconditional. Well, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. That's conditional. I'll give you a bigger present if you give me a bigger present. That's conditional. Christ said He gave Himself for all mankind. Now, He gave Himself for all mankind whether they believed Him or not. Do you understand that? Christ gave Himself even for those that have already died lost and have went to hell. Jesus still died for them. They didn't receive the gift. They didn't receive Jesus. They didn't receive salvation. So they couldn't receive God the Father. They couldn't receive heaven because they didn't have the key that would let them in the door. The salvation through Jesus. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in Thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. Now let me tell you, these other churches through its land and country, I can't say that New Hope, that our beliefs are 100% correct. We follow as close to the Word of God as we possibly can, with it being our schoolmaster to teach us. But somewhere along the ways, we may have some ideas that's not exactly what God intended. Because I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And there's no church that's perfect. But they are churches that have Jesus in them, have the Spirit of God moving in them. Different flocks. We're all working for the same Jesus. Because He came, bled and died on the cross of Calvary, went to the tomb, resurrected, went to the mercy seat of God, placed His blood there on the mercy seat. And we get back to the basics. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the three work is one. When we get down to the basics, to what God has told us that we must believe to be born again, then all the other doctrines and things that we gain from God's Word, or we garner from God's Word, that we harvest from it, that we see, a lot of it's influenced on how we were raised and the things that we see and the understanding that we have. In some places, they don't have not been taught the Word of God. They've not been taught from the Bible. They take one verse to take it out of context and make it say something else. That's not God's Word. You don't use it in that form and fashion. You've got to take it for the whole story, not just one little line, not just one little word, and leave one word out because you don't like it. It's the whole Word of God. And they said, we forbade him because he wasn't one following us. And Jesus is going to tell them, just because he's not following with us right now, if he's not against us, he's for us. If he's doing things in my name, by the name of Jesus, though we've got differences, though he's not walking with us, don't forbade him. Because God's working in many places. But Jesus said, forbade him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Listen, there's only one power source that miracles are going to come from. Only one. God the Father, through the Son Jesus. That's the only place that miracles are going to happen from. And nobody's going to be able to cause a miracle to happen unless they are in touch with the Father and the Father causes it to happen. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now listen, a glass of water. Sometimes I forget to drink all the water I got up here. And I'll tell you, and some people may think I'm crazy, but on Wednesday night, I may finish what off was up here Sunday. Oh, Lord, preacher, it might have germs. It's not killed me yet. Water's the only thing I know you can leave it sitting for a week if it's clear, if it's clean to start with. You can leave it sitting for a week and come back and drink it, and it won't kill you. There's some other things I've left it sitting a week I wouldn't touch you. But water is that renewable resource that God gave us that can do so many things. I'm still fascinated just by His water. Much less all the other things that He's done. And you know that water when it freezes is lighter than it is when it's liquid. Ice float. Amazing. Amazing. A cup of water in my name. Just a cup of water. Oh, they were talking on TV. What you need to do to maximize your tax gifts to the people to be able to get it off your taxes for 2014. Make sure and max out on all your contributions to your retirement fund. All that you can put in it. Number two was to write those checks to those nonprofits, organizations, your charities of your choice, and give them all you can. Trying to get a little tax break. A little tax break. And everybody does it. Everybody tries to get a little bit of tax break because it's ridiculous what they're charging for taxes. But are we giving it for the right reason? Are we giving it out of a heart that is centered on the love of God that we're giving our donations? Are we doing it for the tax return? I think to do it in a God-like spirit is to not think about the benefit of the tax return, but to give out of a loving heart, thankful that God has blessed you to be able to do that. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. I don't know about you, but I think we need to find some millstones. There's a lot of things that are offending our children because they're teaching them disrespect to the love of God. They're teaching them disrespect to parents. Teaching them disrespect to one another. That's where it becomes our duty to make sure what our kids are playing. Make sure what they are watching. Make sure what they are doing. God didn't give them to us just to let them go wild and raise themselves. We had to have instruction growing up. And it's a bigger offense if you don't correct your children than it is if you do. But there were people offending these little ones. Didn't want them coming to Jesus because they were coming around. You need to be silent. You need to be seen and not heard. Anybody ever been told that? I wasn't told that. I heard it on TV a lot. But I was so bashful, I was glad to be seen and not heard. And a lot of times they won't be seen. When it comes to Jesus, I want him to know where I'm at. And I want to know where he's at. I want to be in contact with him. And I don't want to have a millstone hanging around my neck. This scripture was used against me one time because I told them I didn't want them having Kool-Aid and Fruit Loops because the parents were eating them along with the children in the sanctuary. If you need a snack to make it through an hour of service, go to the nursery. It's got a speaker in there. And you'll be all right. It's got chairs and everything else. But they quoted this verse against me because I said this because it was going to offend their children because they couldn't have their snack time. In that 1 hour process, they just come out of Sunday school eating snacks. But that's not the offense we're talking about. It's not the offense we're talking about. How many children today are not being taught about Jesus? How many children today are being beaten in the homes where they're at? How many children today are being abused because they're just a child in the way? God help our country. How many children today's lives are being taken by abortion because it's an inconvenience? This is the offense I feel that God's talking about. when they can't buy a child a pack of Nabs or a candy bar because they have spent all their money on beer, that's the offense. And it gets really close to my heart. It also gets my anger stuck a little bit. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, and believe me, and believe in me, it is better for a millstone hanging about his neck, and he will cast into the sea. And if they had offended thee, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. We've heard a lot of things this past few weeks going on in this land and country we live. It's not right in the eyes of God. Do we need to literally cut off our hand? I don't think it's just what it's talking about. But if that's what it takes to keep people from sinning, to get a few people's attention, if those ones that are shoplifting were took out in front of the store and their hand cut off, no, it would be cruel and unusual punishment. But spiritually, ask God to help us to deal that we don't face these temptations, that we don't face the addictions. That God helps us, that our hand not offend us, nor our eye that it talks about, to pluck it out. If thy eye offends thee, in verse 47, it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. There's so many people today that are just allowing everything to come into their homes and into their eyes and into their souls, except the Word of God. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in your cells, and have peace one with another. One with another. We want to see people that are lost coming to the house of God. We want to see people getting saved. I prayed in 2015 that you've already started praying in 2014 for next year's blood that'll come. We'll get saved. We've got some that's been here. They've not been in a few weeks now. I made contact with them and they're not returning calls and not answering text messages. I don't know what the problem is. I can't fix it if I don't know what it is. We need to pray that God would strengthen them. Get them back in the house of God, whatever it may be that God can use them. But pray in 2015 that lost will come out of the house of God, but more importantly, that will be salt. Anybody ever put salt on apple, bring out the sweetness of apple? Works. Ever put a little salt in your chocolate? Especially a little chocolate sauce or something, put a little salt in it, pulls out the flavor of the chocolate. God knew what He was doing, He made salt. He knew what He was doing when He called us the salt of the earth. Are we salty? Are we like that low-calorie stuff, low-taste stuff, low-sodium stuff? Are we imitation salt? I'm afraid there's not imitation salt out there. That just ain't got the flavor of the real thing. Are we real Christian? Are we living a real Christian life? Are we willing to be servants for God and serve other people? Or do we want to be first? We want to be at the head of the table. We want to be at the contact. We want to be all the recognition. We want people to know the church because of us. We want the people to know the church because of God. It's important. Are we salt? Are we salt? Do we have salt in our life? Do we have peace amongst ourselves? Because if we don't have peace amongst ourselves, the lost world's not going to come in. They're going to be able to see it right off because Satan's already looking. See, he sees those little words you say behind people's backs. He hears all those things. So, like Mama said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Because Satan can do nothing about it if you don't know it. He's not as great as God. God knows your thoughts. Satan hears your words. as we get a song of invitation ready this morning. 2015 coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Could this be the year that Christ comes back? I'm not sure it could be. He could come before 2014 ends, as far as that goes. We see all the unrest that's happening in the Middle East. That's the time clock we need to be watching. We see North Korea and the things going on there. We see our leaders opening up things with Cuba and different things happening. The world's trying to come together and be able to trade. We see the economy's picking up and the housing market and all that stuff is happening. Could it be just the starting of the end? I believe we could see the door. But I'm thankful Jesus is going to take me out before all the terrible things happen. Friend, if you're saved, the same thing is going to happen to you. God will not leave you in this world. You go through the temptations. He will deliver you from the hour of great temptation. But sinner friend, if you're not saved, and you die, or you left behind, you're going to face the awful things you've ever seen. Jesus loves you and wants to save you this morning. Not because you're good enough, but because His salvation is good enough. He sees you for who you are. He loves you anyway. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking throughout the congregation. Jesus loves you this morning. If He did it with your heart, you don't know that you're saved, because you've got to know now that Jesus has saved you. If you want to be in eternity with me, and if there's a big story, we live at it and say, pray for me, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to be. I'm not sure this morning. Friend, I'm going to pray for you that God will show you that you be sure. That you meet Jesus and let Him make you new from the inside out. That's the way He wants you. You be one anywhere. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be sure. Don't think I am, but I want to be sure. I want to be saved. Christian, have you got a burden this morning that only you and God need to know about? Get a doctor. Come to business with the Father. He's waiting to hear from you. You slip out and come. We'll make the move. He comes. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we enter into your throne room, dear God, once again, Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our failures and our sins. God, if we've tried to put ourselves first, Lord, let us remember that we should be first of all. Dear Heavenly Father, not strive to be the first, not strive to be the greatest. Dear Heavenly Father, of importance, but God, that you are the greatest. Your Son is the greatest sacrifice for man that could ever be made. God, help us that we don't offend the small children, that we don't offend our brothers and sisters. But dear Heavenly Father, that we stand on the Word of God, and if the Word offends us, that we need to humble ourselves into the Word. God, we pray that you help us to be salt, have peace amongst ourselves, that the lost world, dear God, would see a place of comfort, a place of refuge, a place of love that they may come to. Dear Heavenly Father, to find comfort, peace, and joy. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this. It's come to the altar. Whatever the heart desires us, dear God, we pray that you will intervene, dear God. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with us. Fireman, dear Heavenly Father, and different ones, dear God, please saved, our EMS workers, dear God. Those, dear Heavenly Father, that may be in harm's way at this very time, Lord, we pray you protect them. Keep them safe from harm and danger. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we submit to your word. Dear God, that each day we strive to learn a little bit more about you, a little less about ourselves. Because, God, when we know more about you, we'll be able to understand ourselves a little bit better. God, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy that's extended. God, your blessings continue to overflow, dear God. And Lord, we just thank you for your great love that you have shown to each and every one of us. God, help us as in just a few short days we'll say goodbye to 2014 and hello to 2015. God, may we be greater servants each day, today and always. In Jesus' name we pray.